hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And kicking off Hour 2, we prepare for our trip in the Turks and Caicos with Explorer Ventures. It's the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, October 6th through the 13th. I cannot wait. I know the Scuba Cowboy, Mermaid Tiffany, and Mermaid Lizzie are on the edge of their seats, ready to just hop on board a plane and fly over there right now today, because they've never done a liveaboard trip. And they've heard me rave about these experiences on the show many times before, or just with them hanging out when we're doing some of our appearances at the dive shows. And I know for a fact they cannot wait. You know, we have some Scuba Radio winners from the dive shows, the consumer dive shows throughout the year on board with us, Dan and Betty Orr from Divers Alert Network, and the Big Cheese. Clay McArdle, the owner and proprietor of Explorer Ventures, is going to be on board the boat with us as well, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Clay, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm, you know, I got another week to get ready to spend a week on a boat with you, and I'm, I guess I should be excited, right?
Well, either that, or you should start drinking heavily. Yeah,
well,
maybe.
You know, having spent a week on a boat with you earlier this year, actually the same boat, and I guess it wasn't too bad. I guess I'll look forward to it.
Well, it's a really big boat, and he realized, like, look, I know where are the hiding places I can go to get away from them. And so you've created an escape route, maybe. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. No, actually, I really am looking forward to it. One of the great things about doing this is spending time on board with people that, you know, as you said, have never been on a liveaboard before. It's a brand new experience to them. And that is just such a neat thing for them to experience the, you know, the ease of the diving and the whole liveaboard lifestyle. It's just fun.
It is. You know, this will be like my fifth time, or maybe even sixth time on this vessel and in the Turks and Caicos. I just love this itinerary. I love the boat. And like you said, when you bring people on that have never done it, and they get so jonesed to, when they come out of the water from their first dives, like, oh my God, I saw a lobster. And like, oh, are you kidding me? You haven't seen anything yet. We haven't even started this trip yet. It's just getting, oh my God. And you know, they bubble over the littlest things, but that kind of energizes you as a, experienced liveaboard diver. And I like that. And like you said, I think that's just one of the bonuses you get as someone who's done it a few times before. It never gets old in that regard, and kind of keeps things fresh for you as a diver, I think, as well. You think?
Yep, exactly. It just you can live vicariously through the new experiences of others and watch them, you know, from the beginning of the week when they see the first shark in the Turks and Caicos, and they're like, oh my God, and they're going down and having a great time with the sharks. And then by the end of the week, it's like, you know, I'm trying to take a picture and there's always a shark in the way. It's really getting annoying.
Yes, exactly. You know, you never know what you're going to see on these trips, but what's great about this particular itinerary in the Turks and Caicos is, especially during this time of year, we can have just amazing visibility. I mean, it's gin clear water because we're at the end of the summer season. The winds haven't kicked up for the winter in the Caribbean yet. So there's less sediment in the water, and it just opens it up to this perfectly clear blue, sky underwater pretty much for photography that is phenomenal. Some of the wall sites that they have in the Turks and Caicos on this itinerary are second to none for underwater photographers. And I think it's going to lend itself well to having a couple of mermaids underwater for some video shoots, you think?
I think definitely it'll be interesting to see what kind of poses you put the poor girls in this time.
Yes, well, we've had quite a few interesting experiences in the Turks and Caicos with them before, so yeah, we're always looking for ways to kick it up a notch, so you never know. I mean, one of the cool things about this itinerary, too, from that perspective, is that I'm somewhat familiar with some of the dive sites, and I already know going in, okay, I remember there's this one area where we can lay them down on the sand, or we can put them down at Double D or G Spot, or all. Yeah. By the way, those are dive sites. I'm not... going in an area I shouldn't. You hear what I'm saying, Clay? You know this, right?
I do know that.
But these are great sites for shooting pictures and a little fun underwater videos that we'll have fun with the mermaids and the scuba cowboy. He wants to do some underwater stuff, too. Who knows? Maybe we can get him to bring his guitar underwater. I don't know if he's bringing one that he'd be willing to sacrifice in that regard. But I know he would like to do some underwater shots like that. So there's a whole plethora of fun things that we can do on top of the critters, the sharks, God knows what else we might see. By the way, have you been getting any dive reports from that part of the world lately on what they've been seeing on the itineraries lately?
We've gotten a bunch of dive reports. We've seen dolphins. We've seen, of course, the ubiquitous sharks and all sorts of stuff. The weather has been absolutely beautiful. The diving conditions have been great. The boat has still been swinging 180 degrees like it likes to do.
Which is that is a fun ride in itself, isn't it? Come on, yeah. I don't think you enjoy that as much as I do. That's one of those. That's one of those extra bonuses on that boat that is really fun to see for the first timers too. Because what it is, it's so big, the wind catches it, or I don't know how it is with the vessel, but when it's on the line, when it's on the anchor line, the boat will swing 180 degrees. And if you're coming up for your safety stop, you get on the safety stop line there at 15, 20 feet, and it can literally swing back and forth, and you go flying underwater if you want to hold on to it. Or you can just stay where you're at, and it'll swing back to your spot. But literally, it'll disappear for a few minutes, depending on the visibility. You kind of go, "Wait, where'd the boat go?" But it comes back if you wait a minute or two. I like grabbing hold of it and going for a ride. I mean, that is just, it's like being Superman underwater. You don't get off on that as much as I do, I guess. Right, Clay?
Well, no, I do. And then, you know, the amazing thing is we don't charge extra for those amusement park rides.
So exactly. You create a human chain too. That's the extra bonus as well. So, we get four or five people and you kind of have an underwater flag and it's just awesome. But that's a unique experience that you can have on that vessel in the Turks and Caicos with Explore Ventures, and we will exploit it as much as possible for our own amusement here in a week or so. So we got that happening. I can't wait. And, of course, we're going to do a broadcast from the vessel that week. You can tune in. That'll be the October 13th broadcast of Scuba Radio from the deck of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 Live Aboard. So make sure you tune in for that 2 weeks from today, I believe. You have several other itineraries we got to talk about that people might want to go out and experience for themselves as well. Let's run down the list. What do you got? What specials or what areas are hot right now?
Well, you know, the area that's really hopping right now is, as far as the Caribbean goes, is Caribbean Explorer 2. That boat has been really busy over the last year or so, and that's sort of near and dear to my heart because that was our original itinerary 25 years ago, back in 1987 when we started.
Right.
And that is a great itinerary for people that like to do something a little bit different. It's a dedicated 5-dive-a-day live aboard, but we also offer island tours at all the different islands that we visit to give you a chance to off gas a little bit, to explore, you know, some of the different culture and history of the various islands that we visit. And that boat has been running very well. We've got a few special weeks left in November, I think, that still have space on them. All the rest of them are sold out. And, other than that, we of course have the, Humboldt Explorer in Galapagos, which is running very well as well. We've had some amazing shark sightings. We had, 2 weeks ago, they had 30 whale shark sightings during the course of the week.
Wow.
We've got the Carpe Vita Explorer in the Maldives as well. That boat is running week in, week out to rave reviews. You've been on that boat as well, and it's just a marvelous place to spend a week.
Yes, yeah. I'm anxious to get back over to that part of the world, hang out with Agnes and the crew. That was truly a unique experience on many levels, a cultural experience to go to Mali and board the boat and to interact with some of the crew there. And, yeah, that boat is just phenomenal. And the water was nice and warm and clear and just amazing critters. Maybe that we have to put that on the agenda for next year. Is that a possibility? Will Agnes have us back, the boat partner of yours over in that part of the world, or what do you think?
You know, I'll probably have to beg a little bit, but, yeah, she might be willing to have us back.
All right, throw in a Scuba Radio hat and t-shirt, see if that helps. It probably won't.
I'm sure that'll clinch the deal.
All right, exploreventures.com. That's the website to go to and book your trip today, or call 1-800-322-3577. More coming up. Here on the island.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their live-aboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. On the line with me, or via Skype, once again, I have Pete from Scuba Board. You may know him as Net Doc. He posts up there all the time and answering questions. And, you know, and he's down in the Keys right now doing some diving, teaching, improving your own skills and sharing them with others. Is that right, Pete?
That is correct.
Now, what does that mean exactly, though?
What, that I'm improving my skills and those of others?
Yes. Well, in what sense, I guess?
You know, it's amazing how consumers are winning out in the dive industry time and time again. You know, the new gear that they're coming out with is better suited for them. It's easier to use, not as much upkeep required. But, you know, Hog and Edge have come out with a program where you get to learn how to rebuild your own rig, and you get to do it instead of sending it out. And I've been teaching a lot of those courses.
Wow. Okay, so you've actually went through regulator rebuilding classes, and you have the skills now to share this knowledge with others so they could skip that step of their yearly annual taking it in and spending $100. They could actually get the parts from the local dive center and do it themselves.
Yeah, and the dive centers will actually sell them the parts, because in the past they normally don't. This is open to a tech diver. You have to be a tech diver. And, you know, it's really a day and a half course, depending on how good you are with your hands. We go through a set of regs, and you learn how to do it. You learn how to do it correctly. You learn how to set it up. You learn how to use a Magna Helix as well as an IP gauge.
Well, that sounds impressive, whatever the heck that is. But when you say you have to be a tech diver, what do you mean? Tech diver in what sense?
You just have to have any tech certification.
With any agency?
Any agency. Doesn't matter. You just have to show that you are indeed a tech diver and you've taken your diving to the next level.
Interesting. All right. So this is with Hog and Edge diving regulators.
Exactly.
At least that's for you. And you've learned the insides and outsides, how to tear these things apart, look for things that aren't right, put them back together with new parts, and make it work flawlessly.
Exactly. And the good thing about this is that if you're out diving and you have a problem with a regulator, your buddy has a problem with your regulator, with their regulator, you know how to deal with it.
And you can charge them for a fix in the field.
Go.
Yeah, it could be a new revenue stream for you, let alone saving yourself a few bucks maybe
on your annual.
But you think this is the way the industry is going to go maybe, or is this kind of a new thing that Edge and Hog are doing?
Well, it's hard to say. I will say I want to go back on one thing you said there. I actually recommend my students to not touch other people's regs except in an emergency situation like that, mainly because of the liability.
Well,
if you're doing stuff and getting paid for it, you better have liability insurance.
Yeah, and when you're doing something like you're talking about, teaching people how to do this, this is very manufacturer specific too, right?
That's true. Very manufacturer specific.
Yeah, because you can't do this with every regulator. Even though I would imagine once you do this with one particular brand, there's going to be some commonality amongst the different regulators in some degree, I would guess.
Air goes in one end and comes out the other.
True that. Yeah. So once you would do that for one manufacturer, actually getting that level of certification to do that with another might not be so hard, I guess. Did you find it fairly training intensive when you went through this process?
I've been rebuilding regs for eons and eons. The class I took was the class how to teach the class.
Right.
So that was more about trying to get the, what are the important ideas, how to keep things clean, how to get the gunk off without ruining your regulator, teaching people how to go systematic rather than, just throwing parts all over the place and hope they all fall back together, using your cameras, taking copious amount of pictures so that you know how it comes apart and can put it back.
Very nice. Yeah. So using checklists and just going through a systematic approach to make sure you don't, put this thing back together and look over and go, oh crap, there's two parts left. Well, you don't want that to happen. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds more kind of my speed. You hear what I'm saying? So I'd have to go through some serious training to be able to pull that off. But yeah, it's an interesting, I've wondered about that myself, because especially when you're, preparing for trips like, we're going to the Turks and Caicos here next week.
Oh, how cool.
I got to pull my regulator out there and double check and make sure I'm not having any issues. And God forbid if I am, I'm within a week, I'm not going to be able to get it fixed. I'm just going to have to, pull one out of a new box or something, which luckily I have that luxury, but not everybody has a spare regulator laying around. So if you had that skill, that would definitely come in handy in those situations as well. All right, so that's an interesting little side, avenue thing. You're going to turn that into a revenue stream for scuba board maybe too, regulator repair or training?
most of my training, Greg, is done for people who want me to teach them. It's done more as I do charge, but it's not really – it more supplements my income from scuba board rather than replaces it.
Well, of course, yeah. Yeah, it pays for an extra beer at the bar or two.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And, a lot of the people were doing this, they're taking the time, and we're actually going diving while they're down here, and that's been real fun.
Yeah, and you've been guiding some folks down there in the Keys lately too, right?
The waters have been flat and beautiful.
Well, this is the perfect time to dive in Florida, off the East Coast, in the Gulf, in the Caribbean, where we're going in the Turks and Caicos, because the winds haven't kicked up for winter, and we've had a couple months of nice, calm summer-type conditions where all the sediment settles, the currents are less, and stuff doesn't get mucked up so much, and you get great visibility, right?
All the hurricanes are somewhere else.
That's right.
We like that.
We do indeed. I don't know if that's El Nino or El Nina, who knows, whatever L it is, we thank them.
We're El Happio.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt about it. But great conditions in the Keys, whether you're just diving lobster and whatever. And you're guiding some folks on some of the dives down there. Is there a coral spawn coming up?
You know, I think there's one due at the full moon, and I think they're actually thinking that there's going to be a few species of fish spawning as well.
Really? So it's going to be like a multi-species spawning event.
Exactly. It'll be kind of yucky in that water.
What do you mean, yucky? People go out of their way to go experience, you know, the coral spawn on a night dive. You're not into that kind of thing?
You know, I'm not. Ruins the visibility, and I just get creeped out thinking all those little squiggly things swimming all over me.
Yeah, you don't like the idea of swimming around in coral spluey or whatever word you would like to use. There's a part of that that does have an image of disgusting vibe to it. Yeah, I can get it.
But you know, I want to scream at him, get a room.
Yeah, exactly. Quit looking. You know, hey. But I don't know. I've seen it before. I've never went down on a night dive for a coral spawn. But, yeah, I guess the downside definitely cuts down on visibility, doesn't it?
You know, it does. It usually happens on a full moon. So you got the beautiful moonlight coming through there, and you got this milk all over the place.
Yeah, very romantic setting, but you can't see as much.
Which
might, you know, lead to them performing better. I don't know. I guess it depends on how shy the coral is in your part of the world. All right, hold on, Pete. We're going to talk about dive logs next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. With me is Pete from Scuba Board. You may know him as NetDoc, by the way, is his handle on that website, that message board for divers. You had a question, you post it up there, they answer it pretty quick. One of the things we wanted to talk about today, Pete, you've been dealing with this on your guides and some of the teaching you've been doing down in the Keys. And that is divers. I don't know. Are they getting lazy when it comes to dive logs and not filling out the paperwork? What's your view on that?
You know, I think it's a mixed bag. I don't know if laziness is it or not. I know here in the Keys, if you can't show that you have dove within the last year, they're going to require you to have a guide. And if it's been 2 or 3 years, they're going to want you to do a training a day with them, you know, so it's important that you have some proof that you've actually been in the water with scuba on.
Yeah. Now I got to admit, I'm pretty lazy. Well, I'll use that word when it comes to filling out my dive log. I just haven't been doing that manually, but I got my dive computer. Does that count?
Of course it does.
Okay.
Of course it does. And in fact, some people are going, heard of a guy here locally who, did not have a dive log. Didn't use a computer. He said, go check Scuba Board. And he pulled up his dive blog on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And showed them that, hey, look, this is where I've been diving. This is what I've been doing. And they loved it. They thought it was great and they accepted it.
Well, there you go. You just have to have some documentation that you've been diving recently to put their mind at ease that this guy knows what he's doing. He's not going to get himself into trouble and create a liability for everybody else on the boat, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it's not a bad thing for you to require of your buddy, too. Rather than go in the water on some dive that maybe over his head, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
It's good to see some proof that he's actually done that type of dive before.
Well, you know, I just got the new iPhone 5, and I've downloaded a couple of dive log apps on there that I plan to put into action as my cool. proof. I think that's the future. Do you agree?
You know, they've got a new housing from last year at FEMA. They talked about it. I think they're shipping it now.
Yeah, the iGills.
Use.
Yes. Well, we were going to talk to those folks at the DEMA show. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Craig, the Dive Master. I have Pete from Scuba Board on the line with me. Pete, I got to say, you know, when it comes to things that divers like to talk about, obviously they posted up there on your message board. Was Stinky, the dolphin in Grand Cayman, has he been a topic of discussion like he has been here on Scuba Radio for the last few weeks?
You know, I haven't seen him bear his stink here at all.
Okay. Well, yeah, this dolphin in the Caymans, just to refresh your memory, is evidently getting his freak on with some of the divers. I don't know if it's his own version of a coral spawn type of thing or what, but there's some videos out there on YouTube that show him and a diver, and I think the diver is not real happy with Stinky's unwanted sexual advances. We'll just leave it at that, right?
I think he's made his point.
Hey, yeah, I think so, in more ways than one. However, that's just one of the things that could be, you know, could pop up on Scuba Board, a little a thread, you know, a discussion about an animal like that. But what else have you seen lately?
Yeah, there's actually been a discussion about what to do when you see distressed sea life. Like there's a they saw a big barnacle on a turtle, and people are talking about, well, do you take it off, do you leave it on, or what?
Hmm. What, just on the shell, the back of the turtle, or what?
Just on the shell. You know, we see our boats, we always scrape the barnacles off our boats because they make us, you know, go easier and faster. And they're worried about the same thing on a turtle. And it's a mixed bag. I mean, a lot of, apparently when that happens, a lot of turtles know that you're like a cleaner shrimp. You're helping them out, and they'll just stop and let you clean it off and sort of give you the nod. And swim on. Other things don't like it. Like there's a jewfish down off of Boynton that they caught with a hook in its mouth. And the thing was almost dead. They pulled the hook out of its mouth, and it went swimming on.
Well, that would be a good thing then, right?
Well, I think so. You just, the one thing you got to remember is that you never put yourself I wouldn't do that with a shark, in other words. You never put yourself in harm's way.
Right, right. Well, yeah, as far as you see a lot of hooks, unfortunately, and sharks on some of the shark dives. But the dive operators sometimes learn a technique, you know, put them in tonic mobility, and then they might try to take the hooks out of their mouths and stuff. But, yeah, that's definitely not for the weak at heart or the untrained shark encounter diver type thing to do. I don't know. A turtle would be a different animal, though. I mean, maybe you could possibly do that, but I guess a barnacle on the back of a turtle, I don't know, a barnacle, is that considered a living organism of sea life as well, though? So if you're kind of a purist in that sense, are you kind of helping the turtle but hurting the barnacle? I don't know. How do you feel?
The people who have done it say that the when they start to do it, the turtle will actually go completely still and let them actually work on the barnacle, get the barnacle off. And so it looks like the turtle likes the idea. You know, there's always, you have these cleaning stations all over where things stop and the fish clean themselves off. So
right.
I don't think it's so bad that we do it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it would be bad for the turtle for sure, but the barnacle probably wouldn't like it. But the barnacle's a living organism, right? And I don't know. I mean, I'm asking, I guess.
Are you expecting me to shed a tear for a barnacle?
Well, no, I'm just saying, right. You know, are barnacles just like a plant, or are they actually like a living piece of coral type of critter? I don't even know. They're an annoyance, I know that much.
Yeah.
So that,
like
that,
a mosquito.
Yeah.
I would kill a mosquito. I wouldn't have a problem.
Right. Okay. So they're a parasite. So they don't deserve our respect in that regard. They're doing more harm than good for the turtle. So get the hell off. Quit hitching a ride. Get your own ride, you barnacle. Yeah, maybe you do that. Well, you need to put the barnacle aside when you chop it off. I don't know. But yeah, I can understand that the turtle would like it. It would be like a cleaning station. I have never seen divers doing this, but so that was the discussion that you saw on Scuba Board. So was there a consensus, though? Well, I mean,
absolutely no consensus. People are saying, no, you're stressing out the turtle.
Hmm.
And, you know, again, you have to look at it because, you know, a turtle, if you stress out a turtle, like, you know, you should never grab a turtle to ride it or anything like that.
Right.
Because they don't breathe water. If you stress them out enough, you could actually make that turtle drown.
Well, if you do that in U.S. waters, I think it's a federal offense anyway, isn't it?
I'm sure that someone out there looking for you.
Yeah, yeah. If they catch you, I think it's a federal offense for grabbing a turtle anyway. So you'd have to kind of look at that, you know, on a bunch of different levels. But yeah, you don't want to stress out the turtle and freak him out. Hey, well, it's hard to say whether he'd know you're trying to help him or hurt him, I guess.
And
so that'd be one issue. What's that?
Even though they're cute, you got to realize those bills that they have, those teeth that they have, you know, they eat coral. So, you know, you get your finger in a way, you're missing a finger.
Yeah, they'll put a hurting on you. Just ask, what's that guy on the TV show, Call of the Wild, the Wild Man. You ever see that show on Animal Planet?
I have not.
I've seen him.
I've met him a couple times, but.
You may have. He's crazy. God bless him. He's like, I don't know. He was like Steve Irwin from Kentucky.
He's really short.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Dude, I don't think he's 5 foot.
Are you kidding me? So you've really met the Wild Man from Animal Planet?
Dude, he's been in a few dive shows. You probably didn't recognize him because you're thinking he's bigger than life when he's shorter than anything.
Wait, this guy has like 3 teeth. We can't be talking about the same guy.
We are talking about the same guy.
The Turtle Man.
Oh, I don't know what his name is. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
the Turtle Man.
You're kidding me.
He's
really?
Short.
He's short, and he's from Kentucky, and he goes rustle critters like snapping turtles.
Yeah, and just like Manny, too. Do you remember Manny?
Of course, Manny.
Manny's short.
Manny Puig. Well, I don't know. He's not that short. He's kind of a Tarzan-looking kind of guy. Yeah, well, he's shorter than the turtle guy. Is that what you just said?
No, he's not quite as short, but to me, he's short.
Okay. Well, fair
enough.
He's
5'4", so he's not, you know, it's like Tom Cruise. These guys, you know.
They look taller on TV is what you're saying.
It's a forced perspective.
Well, you know, the Turtle Man, I want to talk to that guy. I think his show is awesome, and I don't necessarily want to go dive some ponds with him and rustle turtles, but I guess he would know better than anybody when it comes to scraping barnacles off the back of a turtle if they would mind or not. Because he's dealing with, like, you know, snapping turtles and alligator turtles and all these things that will take your arm off and do their best to do so from watching his TV show.
He knows how to get
out
of his shell. That's all I can
say. Yeah, maybe. But he's a crazy dude. But it'd be great for he'd be an interesting guy to talk to. So, but you're saying he's been at some of the dive shows?
Yeah.
What show? Where? When was last time you saw the Turtle Man?
Last time I saw him, I believe, was at was in New Jersey.
No, get out! Really? No, you gotta have you. This can't be the same guy, Pete. You're talking about someone else, surely. This just that wouldn't escape my. I would have seen this. I would have found this guy. I mean, I got Call of the Wild Man TiVo'd. I mean, I watch that show all the time.
You got him TiVo'd.
I am a glutton for punishment when it comes to that type of show, TV show. But anyway, I digress. If you see him, or if anyone listening knows how to get a hold of the Turtle Man, call me. We got to get him on Scuba Radio and talk some nonsense.
Greg
to
wants
him.
The Turtle Man.
I want
cool.
The Turtle Man. We'll make him our official turtle expert. and then we'll ask him about these barnacle issues. Yeah, so but as far as the thread on scuba board, it really was just across the board. No consensus was really found.
But not only was there no consensus found, people got pretty upset with each other.
Really?
Just annoyed. You know what? We think that one side saying is that you're harming nature. The other side says, no, I'm not harming nature. I'm just doing this. And when you start talking about nature freaks, you start getting a little bit of anger involved.
Well, those sound like the people that, felt sympathy for the barnacle. And that's what I was saying at the beginning, you know?
It was all about the turtle. The barnacle never had a chance.
No one ever thought of the barnacle. The barnacles are so disrespected.
You were the first. They were worried about the turtle getting stressed.
Yeah.
The barnacle was never brought up.
Well, yeah, I don't know. PETA might have complained about the barnacle eventually if the news got out.
PETA's come out with a little paper that's totally against barnacles.
Okay, that is rumor and innuendo. I have no doubt about that one bit. We can start a few of those. God knows we've made a few of our own over the years. So we'll let you slide on this one, Pete. All right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Let's put some distance between us and this island and head out to open sea.
Quit my job, sold my stuff, told everyone to know that I had enough. Said goodbye to my friends down at the restaurant.
Howdy, friend. Where are you headed?
Bought an extra ticket and I'm leaving tonight. It was just a dream, but now the time is right. Maybe you're the only one I want.
Boldly going where no man has gone before.
Just you and me.
Hey, that's catchy.
Swinging in a hammock underneath the palm trees. Coconut drinks got us down on our knees in the island breeze. They say I can't, but I think I can live my life with a permanent tan. Taking life easy is my only plan, 'cause I'm an island man.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. That is the Scuba Cowboy. Island Man is the name of the song. That's on his latest Trop Rock CD, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. How you doing there, pup?
I'm absolutely awesome, bro. How about yourself?
I'm great. I know you're happy. Not only do you got your new CD out there, and it's available at thescubacowboy.com, and you're selling thousands of them, but you're getting ready to go on your first liveaboard trip, and that's what we're going to talk about now, right?
That's all I can think about.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if that's the case. You got a lot on your mind, but yeah, you do have to prepare because this is your first liveaboard experience, right?
It's my very first one, and I'm so honored to be able to go with Explorer Ventures. Can't think of a better way to spend it.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. We've done a lot of great adventures together already, but I'm really jonesing about you and Mermaid Tiffany and Lizzie going on this trip because it's your first liveaboard experience. And I got to ask you, you know, because I've done this several times before and I'm used to the routine and preparing for a week on a boat. Do you have any questions or what are you doing to get your gear ready in that regard for this adventure?
Well, other than making sure that everything's safe and, of course, regs checked out and reserviced and ready to go, Dan insurance up to date, all the good things like that. I'm not sure. I was going to call you and ask you, what do I got to do, Greg? Because I'm thinking it's a small, I mean, it's a fairly, you know, smaller quarter, so you're limited on how much stuff you can bring, right?
Well, not really. I mean, they want you to pack light and pack soft-sided luggage that'll collapse and go under your bed, for instance, once you unpack. But you have a small little room, you know, like a cruise ship size type room. On the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 liveaboard, actually, the rooms are much bigger than a lot of other liveaboard adventures that you may go on in the future. So you're not going to be as cramped as you may think. However, yeah, you want to pack light and you don't want to pack too much. That's what most people do when they go on this for the first time because they're packing all kinds of shirts and clothes and things. And we're going to be on a boat for a week. I mean, as long as you have shorts and T-shirts, and you could even get by with two or three of them and recycle them through the week if you wanted, you really don't have to wear anything else. You hear what I'm saying? You can pack really light on a liveaboard trip.
Well, and that's what I was kind of thinking of. I was just thinking more of the actual packing and stuff. I wasn't thinking the quarters at all would be tight. I mean, from the pictures I've seen, I just can't wait. I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be like living in luxury. But I'm with you. Hey, if you can, you know, stay in trim swim trunks all week, why would I want to be in anything else? You know me.
Well, true. He packs pretty light when we go to places where you think you wouldn't need more clothes, which is great because he keeps down on the luggage costs when we're traveling around the world. But yeah, you just need a couple shirts and some bathing trunks. You don't even wear shoes for a whole week. You drop your shoes off at the front door at the liveaboard, and you don't see them for a whole week. So you don't even need socks and shoes, more or less.
I like that plan.
Other than getting on and off your airplane there in Provo. So you pack real light. Now, dive gear-wise, you know, the one thing you want to keep in mind is that make sure your gear is up to speed, serviced, and all that kind of stuff. Not a problem with you. I know you have some fairly new stuff. However, the one thing you do want to consider is on these liveaboard trips, we have the option to do several night dives. So if you have a dive light or a chemical stick or one of those battery-operated night sticks, those come in very, very handy on a liveaboard trip to throw them in your gear and have them handy. Now, they have stuff on board you can rent as well. But if you have your own and you're more familiar with it, that's always a bonus. So maybe a chem stick or two and a night light for your night dives because you're going to do some of them, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And we come up from the night dive and on this particular trip, a lot of times they have Bailey's and warm hot chocolate waiting for us after the night dive and a big chug. A big gallon of warm water that they pour into your wetsuit. Yeah, wetsuit.
That's the diver's version of a hot toddy.
True.
Now, what? Caicos toddy, we'll call that, I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
Okay, we could call it that. Yeah, by the way.
TNC toddy, there you go.
The other thing would be a wetsuit. But it's so nice right now, the conditions in the Turks, so we're going to be swimming in bathwater. You know this, right? It's going to be 85, 86 degrees even at night. You won't even need a wetsuit if you don't want one. However, I will recommend you ought to bring a skin if you have one. Because on the night dives, we could have a, they have the potential of having some jellyfish pop into the area. It just depends, you know, on the week and that kind of thing. And having a skin in that regard kind of gives you a little bit more peace of mind than having to deal with those little critters. But other than that, it's free balling all week. You hear what I'm saying?
Of course, I understand what you're saying.
That was a little bit too much information.
That's the most twisted part of my own mind.
Well, it's a good thing for us guys. I don't know what the girls call it, but, well, Pup knew it right away, and I'm sure you did too, and I apologize in advance. Hey, go pick up his CD at thescubacowboy.com, the new Trop Rock CD. You got a new scuba tune CD coming out just in time for the DEMA show. We'll be talking about that when we do our live broadcast from the deck of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 Liverboard 2 weeks from today. So do not miss it. You're ready for it, right, Pup?
I am so ready, bro.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this week. Remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody.
Each little snail here, know how to whale here. That's why it's hot, 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 hot. Yeah, we in love here, down in the mud here. Under the sea.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.